fleeting glimpses of things seen through a veil, darkly. Do we understand the meaning of these visions of life? Why we are here and how little of our existence we truly understand? Tonight we will talk of these things on The Other Side. Welcome to The Other Side. I am Jim Harold and so glad to be with you once again. And today we're going to talk about something that crops up from time to time. You hear about it, maybe you don't know what it is. And we've got a great guest to talk about chakras. I'm talking about Dr. Susan Shumsky, and she has a new book out. It is called The Big Book of Chakras and Chakra Healing. How to unlock your seven energy centers for healing, happiness, and transformation. And certainly Dr. Shumsky is very accomplished in this area. She's a foremost spirituality expert, highly acclaimed and greatly respected New Thought minister and Doctor of Divinity. She's written 17 books in English, 34 in foreign translations, teaching her own unique forms of meditation, prayer, and spiritual healings. And she even studied under the famous Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, the founder of Transcendental Meditation and guru of the Beatles and Deepak Chopra. She's the founder of Divine Revelation, a technology for contacting the divine presence, hearing and testing the inner voice, and receiving clear divine guidance. She has performed over 700 speaking engagements and made over 1,000 media appearances. You may have heard her or seen her in Woman's World, GQ, Cosmopolitan, the Los Angeles Times, or the Washington Post. You may have heard her on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. And not only has she made all those appearances, she was featured in the movies Three Magic Words and The Illuminated Ones. There's much more to say, but we definitely want to get on to talking about the Big Book of Chakras and Chakra Healing. Dr. Shumsky, welcome to the program today.
Well, I'm just thrilled to be here with you today, Jim.
Now, let's start at the very 101 level. People may have heard of the word chakra. They might have a general sense, but they're not quite sure what it is. How do you define chakras? What are they? Where are they? Tell us about that.
So chakra is a Sanskrit word, and the idea of the chakra comes from the Far East, obviously. And it means wheel in Sanskrit. The word means wheel. And the reason why they call it a wheel is because it is round, because it has radiations, which they define like spokes of that wheel, and it has a hub. So these are energy centers within your subtle body. You have this gross physical body that you inhabit and that you live in every day. But you also have a subtle body. And that subtle body consists of these energy centers called chakras and these energy conduits through which life force energy flows. The life force energy is defined as prana. Prana is a Sanskrit word, again, which means that subtle energy that is keeping you alive. Without prana, you would have no life. You can't exist without prana. Prana gives life to this physical body. The physical body inherently has no life. It is only when prana is in the body. It says in the ancient scriptures of India, when prana is in the body, that is what is defined as life. And when prana leaves the body, that is what is defined as death. You may have heard of chi or ki. Those are the same words as prana. Chi is from Chinese medicine, ki is from Japan, and prana is from India. So that life force energy flowing through your body, that is what gives you animation, gives you heat and movement. When the body dies, there's no movement, there's no heat. And that means the prana has left the body. So these chakras are energy centers within the body that regulate certain functions of the body. There are seven major chakras in the body. There's seven other chakras in the body that I define in my book, The Big Book of Chakras. And there are actually hundreds of chakras. These are defined as acupuncture points. in Chinese medicine.
Now, first of all, I want to say I've obviously mispronounced it. I've westernized it in with the sh sound as opposed to the ch. So I apologize for that, being the ugly American here. But chakra, I will pronounce it correctly. And I've done shows on these before, so I should have remembered that. But nevertheless, is this something that is accessible to the average person? I'm assuming that with a book like yours, the answer would be yes.
Well, you certainly can learn all about them in my book. My book is like the ultimate guide to the chakras, if you want to know the truth. People like Anandia Judith and Cindy Dale and other people who write about chakras, they use my book as references. They've sent their students to my book simply because it's deeper. It goes much more deeply into the authentic knowledge about the chakras and the ancient scriptures, simply because when my publisher asked me to write a book about chakras, I went back to the original ancient scriptures of India to find the most authentic information that I could find about the subject. So I went to those original scriptures and I dug out those deep esoteric meanings about the chakras and everything about them and how you can use them to heal yourself, to heal others, and so on. And I just went back to the original scriptures. I didn't use other sources. So this is pretty much the most authentic information you can find and the deepest and the most detailed. I mean, this book has everything you ever want to know about chakras and a lot of stuff you never wanted to know about chakras. It's got everything. It's like an encyclopedia about chakras.
And I'm trying to wrap my brain around this. Are these in some ways our connection to the energy of the universe? Because when you think about a person, you know, a lot of people are very materialistic, not in the sense that I want a Mercedes, but materialistic in the sense of saying your body is your physicality and that's it. And when you're dead, you're done. The chakra, is that somehow like a spiritual connection to the universe, the energies of the universe?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that, but I would say that if a doctor dissected a corpse, they would not find any chakra or any nadi. The nadi are the conduits of subtle energy. When the nadis come together and intersect, they form plexuses, and those are the chakra. So if a physician or anyone else would dissect a corpse, they would not find any chakra, they would not find any nadi, because these are in your subtle body. They're not in your gross physical body. Your gross physical body is all that Western medicine believes in, Western physicians believe in. However, Chinese medicine and medicine from India, which is called Ayurvedic medicine, they believe in this subtle body and they believe in the entire chakra system. In fact, Chinese medicine, which is quite common now, it's actually proliferated throughout the West. Chinese medicine is very popular. People go and get acupuncture all the time. And acupressure. Well, that is based entirely upon this chakra system, because the meridian are the nadi and the acupuncture points are chakra. So chakras are used in a practical way in that form of medicine, which is a very effective form of medicine. But allopathic doctors from the West would give no credence to Chinese medicine. They give no credence to Ayurveda. Many doctors might say that this is quackery, in fact, but billions of people are using these forms of medicine very effectively. So the chakra system is very practical and it is real and it can cure disease. And if you work with the chakra, you can increase life force energy in your body. You can become more energetic. You can become more charismatic. You can become more magnetic. Your personality can become more magnetic. You can be more attractive. And those people who are the most famous celebrities, the most famous politicians, and so on, they have greater chronic energy flowing through their body. They have more charisma, which that means that there's greater of this life force energy flowing through them, which makes them very attractive, and people want to be around them.
Do they influence every aspect of our life, health, money, so on and so forth? Does it really influence everything if you put them together?
Well, I would say that the health of your chakra system will reflect in your life. In other words, if you have a healthy sense of self-worth, it indicates that, for example, your base chakra or your root chakra, which is at the base of your spine, is healthy. If you have a muddied and unhealthy base chakra, then you won't feel very stable. You'll be very insecure. You won't have self-confidence and those sorts of things. And with every chakra, that applies. In other words, if your heart chakra is healthy, then you are a loving, kind person who radiates love and happiness to others, and other people enjoy being around you, for example. And similarly, every one of the chakras is related to specific psychological, sociological kinds of aspects of our life.
Now, what would you say the bigger misnomers or misunderstandings about this system are?
Well, people have some odd ideas about the chakras. For example, they relate them to specific colors that are not mentioned in the ancient scriptures whatsoever. The ancient scriptures do describe the chakras in great detail, and they talk about the colors of specific parts of the chakras. In other words, geometric shapes that are associated with the chakras, and what they call petals, which are they represent the radiations of pranic energy that radiate from the chakras. But that kind of rainbow idea, it's not really found in the ancient scriptures at all, which people associate that. And also people talk about balancing their chakras. I don't know how you balance a chakra. There's nothing in the ancient scriptures about balancing chakras. There are chakras that are open or closed, chakras that are healthy or unhealthy. Maybe that's what they're talking about when they say balance chakras, but I don't really understand this whole concept that people talk about when they say, I'm going to balance my chakras, or I'm going to balance your chakras. I mean, what does that mean? Chakras are open, they're closed, they're healthy, or they're unhealthy, really.
I think I've heard people say stuck. Do people say that? And if so, is that an accurate representation? Is that possible to have a...
Now, stuck, yes. There can be energy that is stuck in certain chakras. And in fact, there are something called the three grantees. And the grantees are located in the root chakra, which is at the base of your spine, in the heart chakra, which is obviously in the middle of your chest, and then in the third eye chakra, which is in the middle of your head, in the pineal gland area, which radiates to other parts of the head, like the forehead and the back of the head. So yes, stuck energy especially gets stuck in those three grantees. In the base chakra, the whole idea of survival instinct, aggression, bullying, that type of thing, means that there's stuck energy in that base chakra. In the heart chakra, emotions, attachment, obsession, addiction, those types of things would indicate stuck energy in the heart area. In the third eye area, spiritual superiority, feeling arrogant, those types of things would indicate there's stuck energy in the third eye area. So yes, stuck energy, definitely. And that can be cleared, that can be healed. There's various ways to heal the chakras and to heal those energies, which helps you to live a happier, more healthy life.
Now, I have to ask this, and it's kind of an odd question, but do you have a favorite chakra, one that really resonates with you?
I suppose the third eye chakra would be my favorite chakra. In fact, I wrote a whole book on the third eye. It's called Awaken Your Third Eye. And the reason why I love the third eye chakra is because it's the gateway to spiritual illumination. It is the place within the body, within your subtle body, that literally the guru, lives. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the word guru means the illuminator of darkness. In other words, the eliminator of darkness, which brings illumination. And it means a teacher. You can translate it from Sanskrit as teacher, the guru, the preceptor. Now, the reason why the guru is there is because every one of your minor chakras, your major chakras, your seven major chakras, has a planet associated with it. And the third eye has the planet Jupiter associated with it. Jupiter is well known as being a planet that has to do with spirituality, with limitlessness, expansion. It also has to do with higher education. Anyway, Jupiter, the Sanskrit word for Jupiter is guru. So the guru dwells in the third eye chakra, third eye region, and it is the center of intuition as well. Not only the center of spiritual awakening, but the center of intuition. And my favorite thing to teach people is how to develop your intuition. So that's the reason why the third eye is my favorite chakra. And working with the third eye chakra will help you to expand your consciousness, and it'll help you to develop your intuition and become more connected with spirit. So in the sense, now we're getting back, going full circle here. Again, you asked about whether chakras are your connection to the universe or connection to higher power, higher experience. Yes, in fact, chakras are connected to spiritual awakening, the higher chakras, the third eye chakra and your crown chakra, in fact, are connections to your higher self.
Now, a lot of times when you're talking about chakras, there is a talk about kundalini. Can you explain the concept of that and what a role it plays and where it comes into play here?
Kundalini is an energy that in ordinary individuals, in the average person, kundalini is lodged in the base of their spine, and it is asleep. It is coiled up and asleep. That is why it is often likened to a serpent. And in fact, it's called the serpent power. So kundalini is a specific kind of life force energy. That's a very spiritual kind of life force energy, which is coiled up at the base of the spine. And when you do specific spiritual practices, it rises up the spine and, in fact, eventually rises all the way to the top of your head. As it goes up the spine, it awakens your spiritual gifts, it awakens your various chakras, it opens you up to higher knowledge, to higher inspiration, to higher endeavors, meaning intellectual endeavors or artistic endeavors, spiritual endeavors, anything that lifts you away from the mundane world. If you have those kinds of interests in your life, undoubtedly you do, or you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. So that means that your kundalini is awakened to some degree. As I said, in average people and most people, the kundalini is just lying there dormant at the base of the spine. However, you can do specific spiritual practices, some of which are in my book that we're talking about today, The Big Book of Chakras and Chakra Healing. In that book, you can learn specific, very practical techniques, such as bandhas and breathing exercises and so on, that will help to raise kundalini. Kundalini goes up through the center of the spine, but remember, all of these energies we're talking about are in your subtle body. They're not in the gross physical body. So dissecting a corpse, you're not going to find kundalini. You're not going to find the conduit through which kundalini flows, because the conduit, which is called the Sushumna Nadi, which is one of those conduits, one of those nadi, also called meridian, as we discussed earlier. So that energy, that kundalini energy, will flow up through Sushumna Nadi and goes up through the spine, center of the spine, up to the top of the head. And it is thought of as a female energy kundalini. And it is said that the Shakti, Kundalini Shakti, which is the female energy, unites at the top of the head in the crown chakra, unites with Lord Shiva. So Shiva and Shakti unite together in the crown chakra. And then you have the divine union of male and female energies. And you have ecstasy when you have the divine union. So that is said to be spiritual awakening when Kundalini goes all the way up to the top of the head and unites with Lord Shiva.
Now, you kind of talked about some of this, but you talk about some of these practices. And in the book, you have power of healing, power of yogic breathing, power of visualization, power of meditation, all interesting. One that really caught, and it's probably because of the word, secret, but you talk about the power of secret yogic practices. Can you talk about some of those secret yogic practices? Because we love to talk about secret stuff on these shows.
Well, these secret yogic practices are called bandha and mudra. So in that particular chapter of the book, the big book of chakras that we're talking about, that chapter goes into the bandhas and the mudras. And those specific practices are for the purpose of awakening Kundalini. They're the most powerful practices for awakening Kundalini. The three major bandhas are the Jalandhara bandha, the Uddiyana bandha, and the Mula bandha. So bandha just means physical lock. That's what it means, physical lock. So the Jalandhara bandha is a physical lock in the neck where you simply place your chin down, you bend your neck forward and your chin is on your sternal notch. And that particular bandha, when practiced, you have to first exhale and hold your breath in order for you to practice it. You're not breathing while you're doing it. In other words, you hold your breath. So that particular bandha helps to nudge the Kundalini energy into the Sushumna Nadi, into that subtle energy conduit, and helps for it to go up the spine. Same with Uddiyana bandha. Uddiyana bandha is done, it's a lock that is in your abdominal region where you are binding, in other words, lock means muscular lock, as I said, and you're binding the energy of the abdomen, and that also forces the Kundalini energy to go up the spine. And then the third bandha is called the Mula bandha, which is the root lock. And that is squeezing the anal and genital muscles. And when you squeeze those, squeeze it at the perineum and also the anal muscles, both, you're squeezing hard. Some of you might be familiar with this idea of Kegel exercises. It's similar to Kegel exercises. So what that does, that binds that area and very powerfully helps to raise Kundalini energy. So these are the bandhas, the three major bandhas, and you can do them all at once, which is called Mahabandha. And you can learn how to do those in the book, the Big Book of Chakras. So those are some of the bandhas. And then there's various mudras that I teach in that chapter as well. And mudra simply means gesture. It translates in English as the word gesture. So you're using some specific gestures to help to raise your spiritual awareness, and those are taught in the book as well.
What do you think will surprise people if they take the time to go through this book and learn about the chakras and learn about these processes and practices? At the other end, what do you think would surprise them?
I think that people would be surprised by the fact that this subtle energy system or the subtle body and all of its various components, such as the chakras and the nadi and all of that, that that's actually running your body. That in fact, that's an intelligent system that has higher intelligence in it, and that is what is keeping your body alive. There are five pranas that give movement to the body, up, down, around, right and left, up and down, and so on, where energy flows through the body. And keeps the body going. And if you don't have this subtle energy system, you don't have life. So I think that's the most surprising thing. Another really shocking thing is the fact that your senses, seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, feeling, are not in your physical body at all. They're in your subtle body. And how do we know that? Well, I'm sure you've heard about the near-death experience when people see a light. This is a person who is flatlined. In other words, their heart stops beating and temporarily they're dead. They're experiencing what they call flatlining, which is referring to the EKG if the person is hooked up to that. So when a person is temporarily dead, they see a light, they go into the light, they see a divine being and so on. But many of the people who have near-death experiences report seeing themselves lying on the hospital bed or lying on the floor or lying somewhere because they're temporarily dead, and they see themselves, though. They see their body. Well, what is seeing the body? It's not their eyes that are seeing their own body, is it? It has to be their subtle body still working and able to use the senses. They can see the body. They can see the physicians trying to resuscitate them. They can hear the physicians talking. All of their senses are awake and alive, and they're seeing all of this. So I think that that's really a shocking revelation when people realize that the senses are not in the physical body. They're in your subtle body.
Now, maybe somebody's listened to this and they say, oh, this is scary to me. It sounds interesting, but it's too intimidating. I'm not familiar with all of these terms, or it seems exotic in some way. What would you say to somebody who's interested, but maybe a little afraid?
Well, really, there's nothing to fear. When you learn about something, you no longer fear it. It's just a matter of educating yourself, of learning a new thing. It's really nothing scary about it. And there's nothing really intimidating about it. The fact is, when you have knowledge about a subject, it no longer intimidates you. So one way to learn about the topic of chakras and prana and all these different little terms that I've been throwing around, the only reason why I use these terms is because you may have heard of some of these terms. And if I were to refer them to them, such as muscular lock, instead of saying the actual Sanskrit term, bandha, then you wouldn't really ever know what that muscular lock really is. What is that? Well, it's called a bandha in Sanskrit. It's called a bandha in India. It's very well known. People who are well-versed and understanding of yoga, not just going to the gym and taking a yoga class, those people are not going to necessarily know what a bandha is, because they're instructor over there at the gym may never teach them the bandhas. They might. It's possible. It depends upon the quality of the teacher, how knowledgeable that teacher is. But generally, the whole field of yoga is kind of been dumbed down for the West, unfortunately. And you go to your local gym and you do a few exercises, and you think they're just exercises. But in fact, the whole field of yoga is the word, even the word yoga itself. It means union, but it doesn't mean union of the nose with the knee or union of the forehead with the floor. It's actually union of individual spirit with universal spirit. So when you know the true meaning of yoga, and when you learn from an instructor who can actually teach you about the chakras and the different things that we've been mentioning today, then you can learn, and then you won't feel, oh, this is something weird and exotic and intimidating. Well, at first, we think things that are unknown are weird and exotic and intimidating. Yeah. But once we get to know them, they become familiar, and then we're just not scared anymore. We're not intimidated.
makes sense to me. Why not learn it the right way and learn the real information? And we've had such a good time speaking with Dr. Susan Shumsky. Her new book is The Big Book of Chakras and Chakra Healing, How to Unlock Your Seven Energy Centers for Healing, Happiness, and Transformation. And Dr. Shumsky, where can people find more information about everything you do and, of course, the book?
Yeah, my website is drsusan.org. That's drsusan.org. And I have another website as well, divinetravels.com. That's plural on the travels, divinetravels.com. And as far as purchasing the Big Book of Chakras and Chakra Healing, you can do that at your local bookstore. You can do it online at Amazon, at Target, at Barnes & Noble, any of the major booksellers online, anywhere really that books are sold, you can find the Big Book of Chakras and Chakra Healing.
A great discussion, Dr. Shumsky. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Jim. It was a delight to speak with you.
And thank you for tuning in to The Other Side, and we'll talk to you next time. Keep exploring those mysteries. Bye-bye.